welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning, everybody. It's Jessica. How's everybody doing? Thanks so much for joining us on the Extraordinary Moms Podcast today. It's great to have you back with us. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. We have new episodes every Tuesday featuring extraordinary moms from all over the world doing an amazing job loving their kids and being the best mom that they can possibly be. So today I have an amazing guest. It is Lauren Golden. She is the founder of the blog The Free Mama. And after kind of grappling with being a working mom and heading back to work after her first child, she came to realize that women who are working full-time needed more support. And so she wants to offer that to working moms. And so she's going to talk about that transition of how she's been able to juggle motherhood and being a businesswoman. Ultimately, she did end up quitting that full-time job, but she continues to strive to give resources to moms in the workplace. I love the message she's spending about free mama and about feeling empowered to make the best decisions for your family, and your family and your choices don't need to look like anybody else's. And I love that message so much. So I know you're going to love getting to know Lauren today. Let's get to it. All right. I want to welcome Lauren Golden. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to be chatting with you. Where am I talking to you from today?
I live in Katy, Texas, which is just outside of Houston.
I have some family in Katy, Texas.
It is family land.
That is awesome.
We're thrilled about because we are a young family.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Are you originally from Texas?
I am not. So I am actually from Kansas City, but then I left Kansas City to go to San Diego for college, met my husband in New York City. So we've pretty much got the country well covered by now.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. When you're raised in one spot, you kind of think like, oh, this is the best place ever. Like, I never want to move anywhere else. And then you start moving and you're like, oh, wow. Like, it's a big wide world and there's so many amazing people and amazing things. It's good to move around.
It is good to move around. And so we actually just moved to Katy not even quite a year ago. So last June. And that was kind of one of the decisions. We had landed back in Kansas City. We had been there the last 7 years, had our first two homes there, welcomed two of our three children there. And it definitely felt like home, even though my husband's not originally from Kansas City. And that was kind of our motto when thinking about whether or not we were going to take this opportunity down in Texas. He was offered a job. He was recruited for a job. And our whole thought process was, you know, opportunities like this don't always arise, but you can always go back. So that was kind of we were going to go for it. We were going to see if it was a fit. And we've loved our time so far, but we always kind of in the back of our minds was like, you know, you can always move back, but you won't necessarily get that same opportunity again.
That's a great perspective. Yeah, I love that.
So we went for it.
That's great. Well, that's a little bit of a background on you up to date, but do you want to just go back a little bit further, Lauren, and tell us more about who you are and how you got to where you are now?
Sure. So, like I said, I'm from Kansas City, and I am the younger of two girls, and my sister went to school on the East Coast, so when it came time for me to look for schools, I was like, how far away can I possibly go from home and my family? I'm very independent, and so San Diego did not sound like a bad place to go. So I went to college out there, and funnily enough, funnily is a word, I studied political science and Spanish. I do nothing with either of those things now, but it definitely got me kind of propelled to where I am today. I was in a sorority, and through that sorority, I found out about an internship opportunity in New York City, and I just thought that sounded really, really cool when I was in college. It was my sophomore, going into my junior year, and so I got into the program, and I was in no way thinking about what do I want to do for the rest of my life. I was thinking I'm 19, 20 years old, and I'm spending the summer in New York City. What sounds like a really cool thing to do? Fashion design, fashion merchandise.
Cool, right? Yeah.
I think that sounds cool. So I got a job with Levi Strauss, and I ended up being on the marketing team. I'm by no means a designer. And so I was doing product placement and working with models and doing lookbooks, and I loved it. And that's when I fell in love with marketing. So I have never taken a business class in my life. I've never taken a marketing class, but all of my job experience from that internship in New York City has been in marketing. And so, that next summer, I went back with the internship program again, and that's actually when I met my husband. And so that last year of college in San Diego, he was in Oklahoma. I always say I'm a sooner by marriage. He went to OU, and we dated long distance. And after that, we both moved to New York City together. And shortly after that, we had the opportunity in Arizona. So we lived there briefly. That's where we got engaged and then landed back in Kansas City. And like I said, I've always worked in marketing. I have also a history with event planning. And so professionally, that's my background. In Kansas City, we welcomed our first two kiddos. My daughter Daphne is now 5, and my son Henry is 3. And when Henry was 1, I left my job in marketing to start my own business and a blog that kind of chronicles that story, called The Free Mama.
That's so awesome. That's so great. So let's go back to when you just had Daphne. So you were working full time. Did you plan to go right back to work, or how was that pregnancy and that transition as far as going back to work after having your first child?
You know, I always tell moms when I talk to them, first time moms, the buildup is the worst.
Sure.
And I really believe that. I think those days leading up to going back to work, if that's what your plan is, the buildup is the worst part. Just the anxiety of figuring it out, and you feel like, you know, whether you took 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months, whatever you were able to do, the buildup and just kind of the anxiety of having to get on a new routine again after you just welcomed this new baby is the worst. And with Daphne, that's definitely how it was. You know, the weeks leading up to it, I was crying every day and so emotional. And what's funny is about 3 hours into my first day back, I remember kind of consciously sinking in my chair and being like, okay, this kind of feels good. I kind of felt like me again. You know, I felt like I felt like I was producing. I felt like it was familiar. And of course, I still missed her. And it was by no means easy. But something about actually going back felt comfortable.
Sure.
And it was in that moment that I realized that I would probably always be a working mom outside of the home, inside of the home, whatever that was. I would probably always carry a career while I carried my family. And it's funny that you asked kind of, you know, did I know what that was going to look like? I absolutely did not know what that was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who has that all figured out in a game plan, kudos to you.
Well, it's kind of like childbirth.
We definitely have been winging it since day one and
yeah.
The whole parenting thing. But I always knew I wanted to be a mom, always, you know. When I was little, I remember playing. I have a cousin who were just 5 days apart, and so a girl cousin. So we pretty much grew up like sisters, and we used to play house, and I remember being so bossy that I had to be the mom. I always had to be the mom. And so I always remember that was going to be in my future. And I grew up with a stay-at-home mom, so that was all I knew. And where I grew up, a lot of the moms stayed home. And without a doubt, motherhood is the hardest job any of us parents, mothers will have. But I didn't know anything different than the moms that were available to do, you know, the field trips and to be home with you when you're sick and that kind of experience. And when I got pregnant with Daphne, that just wasn't a reality for us financially. And I know that that's becoming more common for a lot of moms today. And we see a lot more dual income parent households. And that was definitely our situation when we had Daphne. I needed to go back. And like I said, on that first day back, I remember going, okay, it's going to be okay. This is good for me. And it's only kind of solidified in the years since then.
Well, yeah. And it helps that you really liked your job and you were good at it and feeling good. So yes, as sad as it is to walk away from your child, you know, in the morning, knowing you'll return to them at the end of the day, and in the meantime, you get to kind of fill your own bucket. It's got to be kind of nice on a lot of days, I'm sure.
It definitely was, you know, and especially those. I was really lucky. I was working at a school. And so, you know, my hours weren't super crazy. I wasn't, you know, I did, because of the position I was in with the marketing and events, you know, there were some nights, some weekends, some, you know, weeks that were more stressful than others. But for the most part, it's not like I was working till 7 o'clock every night with a crazy commute. I felt really fortunate that I was in an environment that works with children and therefore is kind of a little more sensitive to those family dynamics.
That's really nice. And what I hear a lot from working moms is that guilt for missing out or feeling like they should be at home, especially if you've had it role modeled to you, having a stay-at-home mom and knowing a lot of stay-at-home moms, being the working mom. Did it alleviate your guilt a little bit that financially you needed to go back to work, or was it just as bad at times?
It's so funny that you bring up mom guilt. I think it is like running rampant on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think it is totally a real feeling. I have felt it, but it is also kind of with my blog and when I talk to moms, that is my mission, is to squash it.
Sure.
Whether you stay home or work or whatever it is, we are all doing our best. We all love our children unconditionally and want nothing but what's, you know, going to be the best for them in the future and in the present. And the thing I say about working moms is that we all work because we either have to, you know, for an income, or because we want to. And that goes back to what you said, you know, maybe you're passionate about it. Maybe you love your job. Maybe you're really good at it, whatever it is. But whether you want to or you have to, those are both really good reasons, in my opinion. And I don't think any mom should feel bad about it. And it's funny, I talked to some working moms that were in a Facebook group together and kind of share, you know, our struggles and challenges and also successes together. And so many of them will say that they feel like they are a better mom because they're working.
Oh yeah. I've definitely heard that.
Yeah. And I think there is just, there is no right or wrong way, whether you work outside of the home or you're committed to being a mom full time. Like I said, that without a doubt is the hardest job. There are times for sure when I take my older two are both in preschool now, and there are days when I drop them off and I just look at the teacher and I silently think to myself, you are going to do so much better with them today than I probably would. I'm not the most patient person in the world, and I love that I know that they're being cared for, and that, like you said, I'm getting that stimulation and that fulfillment from a career that I enjoy and that I'm passionate about. And when we get together at the end of the day, I feel like I'm more attentive to them, and I feel, you know, less divided. I feel like I can give them everything in the moments that I'm with them. And I hear that a lot from other working moms as well.
Absolutely. I think there's some personalities that you can kind of pace yourself throughout the day if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're with them all day long. But some people really having those, you know, 3 to 4 hours in the evening time after you pick your child up, after you've worked for the day, you know, that quality time, it's a better representation of who you are and who you want to be as a mom, perhaps, than if you had been with them all day long and hadn't had that kind of boost for yourself.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it's fine to own that and to not feel like you have to justify it. But I think there is a lot of justifying that happens when a mom feels like, oh, well, you're so lucky that you get to be at home with your child. Or, oh, you know, you're a better mom because you're at home. That's the hardest thing. And I get to leave. And, you know, I think there's a lot of like that comparison that happens with working moms versus stay-at-home moms. And really, like, we're all just like choosing our best life according to our values and our personalities and our family dynamic and our everything. It's just us.
And our financial situation.
Yes.
Frankly, you know, I know just as many moms who enjoyed their career, but when they welcomed that second child, third child, even their first child, childcare is expensive.
Sure.
And I won't spend a whole lot of time on this because you don't want me on that soapbox. But it is unrealistic for some women to continue working. And so we all have different choices that we make. And like you said, it's based on our circumstances. And there absolutely is no one size fits all. And as far as kind of the dynamic between working moms and stay-at-home moms is, I think it's a little bit of a case of the grass is always greener.
Mm-hmm.
There is not, one is not better, but they both have their benefits and they both have their downfalls. And sometimes it's easier to look at what the other person has and only see those benefits. And we can't do that to each other as moms. We have to help each other with those things, you know, and support each other, because I think that the dynamic between a working mom and a stay-at-home mom could be so complementary. And mm-hmm. I have not experienced that more than since the last 10 months that we've lived here in Texas. And when I first got down here, I'm a very social person. I'm very big in community. And now that I work from home, and I moved to this new place where I didn't know anybody, I was really nervous that I wasn't going to get that here and ultimately wouldn't be happy here because, I didn't have that sense of community. And so I really had to put myself out there, and I joined a mom's group, which I had never done before. Because one of the things that a lot of working moms I know struggle with is a lot of stuff takes place during the day mm-hmm. when they're at work, the play dates, you know, the gymboree classes, whatever it is. There, a lot of that stuff takes place during the day, and working moms feel like they miss out on that sense of community. But since I work from home and I have a little more control over my schedule, I joined a mom's group. It meets on Fridays, and very few of us in this group hold careers, you know, outside of parenting. And I sit at my table, and while I can't always relate to the moms that stay home and the feelings that they're talking about, I've been able to learn so much from them.
Sure.
And one of the themes that I hear a lot is kind of that mental stimulation and that fulfillment. You know, when I complete a project for a client, I can feel really good about it, and they'll give me positive feedback. When you have this great teaching opportunity with your children, you don't get that.
No.
They don't turn to you and say, "Mommy, thank you. You are such a good mommy today."
Yes.
You know, and I think as humans, we kind of crave that. And another mom could tell you you're doing a great job, or hopefully you have a supportive partner who tells you you're doing a great job. But, you know, again, it just goes back to, I think the grass is always greener sometimes, and we have to support each other and lift each other up. And I know for me, I got put on bed rest this past fall when I was pregnant with our third daughter, Audrey, who we always say is, she's the only true Texan in the family. She was born here in January. But I could not have done it without all of these stay-at-home moms. They brought me food. Not that a working mom couldn't do that, but, you know, they would come check on me during the day. And my sense of community down here has grown exponentially. And I could not have kept working. I could not have kept being there for my other children and my husband without the support of these moms who had the time and energy to give to my family.
Well, I think that's really important to point out that just because maybe you're a stay-at-home mom like I am and my neighbor is a working mom, it doesn't mean that we can't still be friends or still support one another in whatever role works for us. You know, so, yes, we may hold different hours, we may have different schedules, but still it's like, oh, come over for dinner on the weekend, or, you know, thinking more creatively to still befriend one another, because, yeah, there's so much we can learn from each other regardless of the type of life that we're living.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think as far as your point of the grass is always greener, I know there's a mom listening who, you know, has been sitting on the floor playing Legos with her child at 10 a.m. thinking, what I wouldn't give for my child to be in school full time, or what I wouldn't give to just go get in the car by myself and go somewhere, or even just go to work, or, you know, whatever. And there's always that feeling. And so I think there's mom guilt for stay-at-home moms that, you know, they're not always happy being at home or being in the season that they're in. And I think there's guilt for moms that leave and go to work outside the home. It's just, that's just a woman's mind, and there's no escaping it. But I think you're exactly right. We can squash it and kind of flip it on its head and realize, let's let go of that and replace that feeling of guilt with something else.
Yeah, I think we have to find the positives and where we're at and what we're doing, and try to let those rise. You know, if maybe for that mom who's sitting on the floor playing Legos right now, rolling her eyes at her child, you know, maybe that is what she's going to be doing at 10 o'clock today, tomorrow, the next day. But maybe she can find fulfillment from helping a mom who can't do that for her children and is simultaneously feeling bad that she's not there. I had a lot of moms when I was on bed rest offer to take my older children, and then our children entertained each other. So that kind of gave, I was able to work without feeling like, you know, I couldn't be there for my children. She was able to go, you know, take care of what she needed to take care of, and our children entertained each other. And she, for that moment, you know, she wasn't sitting there on the ground playing Legos.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like you said, there's for that woman, there's also a woman at work right now wanting to play Legos with her child. And yeah, I think we just have to appreciate the opportunities that we create for ourselves. And if that woman who stays home with her child wants something more, whether it's to go back to work or, you know, just create something that's for herself, a hobby, you know, joining a gym and having that hour to totally be without someone watching her go to the bathroom and hanging on her leg, which is something I experienced too. We all do. You know, I think that's something that we can create for ourselves, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to feel stuck. And that kind of has been a huge part of my story. You know, I like I said, when I returned from work with Daphne, I realized pretty quickly that I would always work, but I didn't always know what that would look like. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, after my son was born, once I got to having two children in two different childcare facilities, that was when I really learned that the traditional 9-to-5 was not working for me anymore. I had a long commute. Like I said, my kids were in two different places. And by the time we got home, we were exhausted. We were crabby. We were dirty. We needed baths. We needed to eat. And then by the time that was all situated, it was bedtime. And that just wasn't working for me either. And so that's when I decided that I needed to create the situation that I wanted. And it's not easy. But I think that we can do that as moms. We have to allow ourselves to go after what we want. And for me, it was that I wanted to work, but I wanted to spend more time with my family. And so I started a business that I could work from home. And, you know, it comes with all the risks of being a business owner. I have to get my own clients. I don't have health care through my employment. And those were all things that I had to figure out, which could be a whole nother podcast show or, you know, a series of them, but I was able to do it, and a lot quicker than I thought. I'm a big planner. I know a lot of moms are planners. We have to be to kind of keep rein the crazy in, and I was going to give myself a year. I said, in a year, I'm going to quit my job, and a few months later, we found out that we were pregnant, and it was kind of like, okay, rearrange, switch gears. You know, I'm going to need that insurance.
Yeah.
We can't do all these things anymore. And we kind of came up with a new plan. And then it kind of pushed our timeline back. And it was like, well, one of these days, I'm definitely going to leave my job. And, you know, but who knows if that would have happened. And at 12 weeks with that pregnancy, I ended up having a miscarriage. Mm. And it was a big 2x4 across my head, emotionally, physically, but also professionally. It kind of gave me this wake up that we only have so much control and so much planning that we can do before life kind of shows you a new door, shows you a new window, and you have to decide what you want to do. And it was a week after my miscarriage that I ended up walking in and quitting my job and started my own business and really decided to go for it. And it took a lot of courage. Maybe a little bit of crazy.
Yeah.
But I have not looked back. And that was when I started my blog. And I talk a lot about, I talk very openly about my miscarriage. I think that's something that so many women, too many women experience and keep bottled up inside. And for some of us, I think that that's, you know, that's a personal choice. But I want to make that topic less taboo because it is so prevalent. And I think that it's one of the most isolating things in motherhood to go through.
Sure.
And so I want to provide a community around that. I talk about starting my business. I talk about, so timeline wise, for anybody listening, that was in December of 2015 that I officially left my job. So I kind of January 1, 2016. So I'm barely over a year old doing all this. And so in my first year, I was able to gross more money than I was making at my job.
Wow. Good
as
for you.
A full-time freelancer, working half the time, half the hours. And it was not easy. It was not easy. But I do think that we can find kind of all of those things we're looking for.
Absolutely. And so during that time of reevaluation, like you realized, okay, doing this daycare thing, coming home, being totally spent, this is not working, we need to change this. And then like reevaluating, okay, I don't know if I can keep working even though I need insurance. And what was your actual, what were the emotions around there and the actual like picture of what it looked like in that moment? Because now upon reflection, it's like, oh, well, see, it's all worked out. It's all okay. But at the time, how did you handle all that?
One day at a time.
Sure, sure.
I think so much of, it's funny, this was one of my most recent blog posts had to do with how being a mom makes you better at business and vice versa. I really think there's so many similarities because if you talk to any entrepreneur, they'll tell you that their business is their baby. Mm-hmm. Any startup, I mean, it takes the same love, attention, commitment. You know, it will not just fall in your lap, trust me. And when we, so I started my business January 2016. We found out we were pregnant again. So I had my miscarriage. We found out we were pregnant again in May. And then our new Texas baby, Audrey, joined us in January. So that all was going on during this year. And I had very difficult pregnancies. I'm talking throwing up every day, totally worthless as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend.
Oh, man.
Just not good pregnancies. And then I ended up on bed rest at 32 weeks. I went into preterm labor. And so I was kind of working through all of this, moving cross country with two toddlers by myself. My husband had already gone ahead to start his new job. It was not easy. It was not pretty. And any plan I could have set for myself and for my family would have been destroyed immediately. Yeah. Because there were just so many things coming up that were not planned. But as far as what I planned in advance, you know, clearly I wasn't thoughtless when I went in after my miscarriage and decided to leave my job. It was something I had already considered. We had already been talking about. I was just looking to have everything checked off my checklist. You know, I wanted all my clients in place. I wanted a beautiful website. I wanted to know that we could afford, you know, the healthcare. My husband's also an entrepreneur. So that meant no employer paying for our family's healthcare at all. We had to figure it out.
Wow.
So making sure those ducks were in a row. And we kind of had those responsibilities checklist that we were going to work through. And then after the miscarriage, I decided, you know, who knows what could happen in the next year of me planning to do this. If I don't go for it now, I might never decide to do it. And so I did go through it. And we still had that checklist. You know, we had to get things figured out pretty quickly in terms of making sure we had insurance for our family. But everything else really, truly has been a huge learning curve. One of the biggest things for me as a business owner, and I think a lot of new businesses don't think about, especially service-based, is, you know, I got so excited to get that first client. I was
sure.
So excited. I'm like, money coming in, like, I can do this. That sometimes you get so busy working on that first client that you don't think about what happens if they go away. And as a business, you always have to think about where your next revenue stream is going to come from. And I had to learn that the hard way, big time. When we decided to move, you know, I was just kind of sitting pretty happy with the work that I had taken on in Kansas City. And when we decided to move, some of those relationships worked to do remotely, but for others, it just didn't make sense. And so all of a sudden, we're in Texas, and I was pretty much starting over again. And so that was really tough. And if you look at my blog, you can see some serious gaps. Mm. And I think it's a good lesson for parenthood in general is I was really hard on myself. I do marketing. That's what I do. And so I do social media marketing, you know, primarily for most of my clients, and consistency is key. And I was not being consistent in my own things that I was building. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard on me, because I'm like, if I can't do it for myself, how can I do it for those other people? And of course, I was doing it for them because they were paying me the cash money. So they were my priority. But I had to kind of let those things go and be like, you know what? I just moved cross country. You know what? I was just hospitalized for morning sickness. You know what? And I think we have to show ourselves grace as moms and as business owners, as everything. You know, we can be so hard on ourselves. We're our own worst critics. And, you know, I think just keep going, keep moving forward, whatever you're doing. But that was one of my biggest lessons when I left my job, was keep moving forward. If I stopped, there was a really good chance I was going to go just get another job and end up in the same situation. But keep moving forward, keep working on those checklists of things that you need to get done.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so whether that's you're a stay-at-home mom and you're having to readjust and you're trying to make decisions for your kids about their education or activities or your marriage or whatever it is, it can look different for every single person. But just keep doing that one step at a time and realize it's not always going to be comfortable in that moment. But ultimately, definitely, in the long run, kind of trust that looking back, you know, you're going to see it all kind of fit together as long as you're just doing your best day by day by day.
Absolutely. And and one of the things I've really learned just in the last year of starting this business, in the last 5 years of being a mom, is that we really need to be patient, not just with our children. Of course, we need an abundance of patience with our children. But we need to be patient with ourselves. We need to be patient just in life. I'm a big planner. I'm a little bit of a control freak, very type A. It's kind of the hindsight is 2020, you know. Sure. I have so many things that I want to do with my business and so many different ways that I want to grow. But when I left, the whole point was to spend more time with my family. That was my goal. And I have to keep coming back to that. And so my children are, my youngest is still home with me. And I'm gonna attempt to do that as long as I can. She just started rolling over on Monday, so we're working towards being mobile.
Sure.
So far we're still good together. But my older two are in preschool, but it's just part time. And so my hours are pretty constricted to work in my business, and whatever I don't get done before I have to go get them at preschool, you know, they're 9 to 2. That's really not a huge chunk of time to be working on a business, but I make it work by planning, by blocking my schedule, by staying focused when I am working. You know, there's no time to go do the laundry when I'm working. I have to fit that outside of those hours, and really buckle down and focus. But there are things that I want to do, but I need to be patient. They will happen, you know, whether it's when all my kids are in school, whether it just takes me a little bit longer to get to my goals. But I really try to slow down, remember why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I think that's something that stay-at-home moms can remember too. When you're frustrated playing Legos for the 27th time and it's only 10 a.m., remember why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, whether you chose to stay home for financial reasons or because you wanted to be the primary person taking care of your children every day, you are doing that. And you just need to grant yourself some grace and be patient. And remember, you know, we hear all the time, remember your why. And you're doing it. You're doing it every day. And that's awesome. We just need to be patient that we are getting where we want to go.
Sure. And I think a tendency can also be to compare somebody else's ending to our beginning. And we feel so far from, you know, the successful business like that you have, or, you know, someone's successfully raised children or potty trained children or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And it feels so hard in those beginning stages. But there's also something super beautiful about the beginning stages if you allow yourself to kind of release that responsibility to go faster than you have energy and speed for, and just kind of, you know, rest in where you are right now and keep moving forward, but not feeling like, oh, well, I'm never going to get to that ending point like them. I'm so far from that. It may be closer than you think, or it may be far, but the journey, that's life, right? Like, that's why we're all here, is just to live this life, not just to get to that ending.
It's a marathon, not a
Yeah,
sprint.
it is.
You hit the nail on the head, and that's something that I think, especially being a business owner, I think I feel, at least once a day is how come everybody else is getting it right? Or how come
Sure.
she has that system figured out, or that advertising online is working for her, and why couldn't it be me? That's something else that I struggle with
Sure.
as a business owner is if I were doing 40 hours instead of 20 hours, or if I could just give a little bit more. And that's why I think we have to go back to not comparing ourselves, for sure. And that's it's super hard with social media. It's super hard with social media. So many people are putting out their filtered view of their life. Very few people are doing that exposed. This is what I look like. This is my house, and this is
Yeah.
it, because that's not pretty. So we don't want to look at those pictures. We're all living it, but I definitely struggle with that. And I go back to the fact that maybe that person figured it out in 5 minutes and made $1 million, and that's really cool, but it's not very likely. And I got to spend the whole afternoon with my children at the park today and got that project done for my client. And for today, that's good enough.
Sure.
And sometimes I do feel like I'm falling behind, but I'm always trying to move forward. And
Yeah.
that's kind of all we can ask for is just to keep taking it day by day.
That is great. That's awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. And so tell me about Free Mama, your blog. What is the purpose of it, and what is the message you want to be spreading to these other moms?
So when I started the Free Mama, I felt like that came from free is kind of so many things. For me, it was I wanted the freedom to work, but I wanted the freedom to work when it worked for me and my family. I wanted the freedom to spend as much time with my children as I wanted, and I wanted the freedom to pursue things that I was passionate about. And that was kind of the foundation for me starting my own business. My business is in digital marketing, but the name of the company, the LLC that I started, is the Free Mama, because to me, I could be doing any business, but that concept of why I started it is not going to change. And so I kind of started a blog to go around with it. And my tagline, if you will, is a working mom's quest to having it all. And I know that if you Google doing it all, having it all, whatever, you will come up with 1 million articles probably telling you it's unrealistic and you can't do it and why do we stress ourselves out, and kind of dumping the negative into it. But the reason that I started my blog was to share and document my own story. And notice how it says my quest to having it all. I won't claim that I do, but I think that there's two huge misconceptions about having it all. And that's kind of who I'm all about, and what I want to share, in addition to squashing the mom guilt. I want mom guilt to go away. But
Yeah.
the first misconception is that having it all means doing it all. And those are not the same thing. And we have got to stop thinking about it that way. I have childcare. My children go to preschool every day. I have an amazing husband. He cooks breakfast for our family every day. He helps with the cleaning. He helps with our children. He's super hands-on. We pay somebody to cut our lawn. That is not a priority for us. It is really hot here in Houston. I do not want to go mow the lawn when it's 100 degrees and humid
Right.
in the summer. We do clean ourselves. We don't. We haven't. It's not like we are sitting on a cushion of money and outsource everything. But the reality is, we pick and choose as a family what we are going to do. My children help with the chores. I do not do it all. I do not do it all. I do not want to do it all. It is not possible to do it all. And so that's the first misconception about having it all. The second is that having it all has anything to do with money. Having it all is not about money. It's not about living in the nicest house. It is not about a fancy car. I don't know when that association kind of started, but to me, and the message that I want to spread is that is not what having it all is. Having it all is a mindset. It is about personal joy. It is about feeling fulfilled in who you are as a person and what you are contributing to the people around you, and from not holding ourselves back from what we want to get out of this life. And that does not look the same for everybody. To the stay-at-home mom who, I know people who went and got who became attorneys and decided to stay home. That's a lot of education. And I know that they may struggle with those days of, you know, I'm throwing my degree away or whatever it is. But if what you wanted out of life is to be the primary caregiver for your child and you are doing that, you have it all, sister. Don't worry that you don't have that job anymore. Who cares? We're, you know, and for that matter, what you're doing today might not be what you're doing 10 years from now. Maybe when your child goes back to school, you're going to decide that you can go back and get into that career again. And is it going to be easy? Probably not, but you can do it. Don't hold yourself back because it's not going to be easy, because life isn't easy. And with that being said, you know, the stay-at-home mom that I had my whole life, I'm the baby. When I went off to college, my mom went and got a career. And she's still working, and it's amazing. And she's built a great business for herself. And, you know, she felt fulfilled as a stay-at-home parent. And when we weren't there every day anymore, she needed something else to fulfill her. And I would argue that my mom definitely has it all. And kind of got to experience the best of both worlds. So that's really cool for her. I just think we have this association that having it all is that sort of social media, you know, end of the game thing. And it's a journey. And maybe we can't feel like we have it all at the same time. You know, I'm not going to have a $1 million business. I would love to, you know, but probably not going to be able to build that out when I'm only working, you know, 20 hours a week so that I can spend half of the day with my kids every day. But I would definitely say that I feel fulfilled and I feel happy. I'm really proud of kind of this life that I've created for myself.
Sure. Yeah. I love that message so much. And I think perhaps the point is that when we focus on having it all, like, we're always going to be disappointed, but focusing on what you have and what you have is enough for today. And there's so much joy to be found in exactly what you have, even if things are so imperfect, even if you're still waiting on things, even if you're going through something really hard, even there's still joy, there's still goodness, there's still enough in what you have today. And so focusing on that versus I'll be happy when, that mindset shift can be just life altering. And I think we underestimate, like your mom, and my mom did the same thing. She went to work after we were grown. We have so, most of us have so much life left to live once our kids are out of the house. And when we're in the thick of it, we feel like now's the only time I'll ever have, and I'm missing things and I'm missing out and I want to do things. And we're kind of short-sighted in that. But really, even if we waited until our last child is 18 and out of the house to begin a true quote-unquote career, you know, you could still have a very lengthy career, you know, if that's what you choose to do, or pursuing a hobby. But I think people should definitely, and I'm sure you'll agree, start right now wherever they're at, even if they are a stay-at-home mom right now, like I am. I started a podcast. Like, what can I do? I didn't want to leave the home to go work. What can I do right now? It may or may not make you money. It may or may not make, you know, a big impact, or may not be for anybody else. But what do you want to do right now in your season, according to your values, that can really just, you know, illuminate your life? And that is your best life. That's having it all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's finding what's going to bring you joy and going for it and focusing on that fulfillment that it's bringing you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think our messages are so in line, and I love that I'm focused, and I know a lot of my listeners are stay-at-home moms, but your focus is very, very similar, but just with working moms, and you've been able to do this in a different way. But I love that our message is so cohesive. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, we're not as different just no. because we do different things from 9 to 5.
Not at all.
We're and not I, as different as some might think.
Yeah, and I could never do the work that you do, and nor do I care to do that. I'm doing something else, and that's fine. And so I can cheer you on and applaud you for what you're doing, and you can look at what I'm doing and be proud of me. And we're all just doing our own thing. There's no reason to be like, oh, I just wish I could do what they're doing, or at least just have the success that they're having. No, like, you're having success in your own version, in your own life, if you just choose to see it.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, Lauren, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would tell my pre-motherhood self to slow down. I think it goes a little bit back to being patient. It's kind of the same concept. But definitely slow down a little bit. It took us a year to get pregnant with Daphne, she's our oldest. And that year felt like the longest year of my life. Mm-hmm. And I know anybody who's struggled with fertility, you know, when 1 year is nothing compared to some people's journey to becoming parents. But that year was filled with a lot of pregnancy tests, a lot of tears. It was very emotional. And I feel like I just woke up the other day and she turned 5, mm-hmm. you know, and those feelings are so raw still of going through that. I don't know that I will forget feeling that disappointment when you want something so badly. But we need to slow down and enjoy, I think you called it the season. We need to enjoy the season that we're in and not go so quickly. And, you know, now she's heading to kindergarten, and as someone who's been playing childcare since she was 12 weeks old, I'm only sort of sad about that. And she's totally ready. She'll be great. Now, when my youngest goes to kindergarten, call me. I'll be a mess. But, you know, slow down. We're potty training my son right now. Anybody who's potty trained anybody knows that can be a very trying process, and it's been a totally different experience than it was with my oldest, but I just have to remember that he's 3, and he's not going to go to college pooping in his underwear, you know. We're going to get there, so I try to slow down and be patient with him, and you know, it goes professionally too. Like I said, there's so much that I want for myself. You know, there's so much that, so many ideas I feel like I have to offer, but they're not all going to happen right now, and that's okay. And, as long as I keep going and I can slow down and enjoy where I'm at, and, you know, I have a 3-month-old now who sits with me in my office. I did time nap time around this recording.
Yeah.
So that she wasn't giggling too much in the background, but, you know, taking those moments to slow down and spend time with her, even though I am working, you know, and I'm nursing. And so I try to take those moments to just stare at her and just appreciate it and remember it. And I wish I would have done that a little bit more before I had children. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're all in a hurry to get somewhere. And as someone who always wanted to be a mom, you know, I couldn't wait for all of those things. You know, as children, we can't wait to grow up. My daughter, my oldest, already tells me. She says she wants to be a mom when she grows up. And this morning she said something so funny. I haven't told my husband yet, but she told me that when she's 80, she'll be the biggest and she won't be able to live in our house anymore because she'll be too old, because she'll be almost as old as Dad when she's 80. So, you know, and so it's almost what I want to tell my daughter too, is slow down. You know, sure. She's so excited for kindergarten. We had kindergarten roundup a couple weeks ago and just got her enrolled. And every day now she's waking up and, do I go to kindergarten today? No, baby, you're still, you know, we still have preschool until August. And I think we just need to slow down and look around and enjoy where we're at and create memories and live in the moment and not be in such a hurry to get to the end of it all.
All right. That's a great intention. I love that. Lauren, you're so awesome. I love the message you're promoting. Where can people find you online?
People can find me at thefreemama.com. That's where I do all of my blogging, inconsistently and imperfectly, but as honestly as I can. And I do interviews every now and again with working moms. So if there are any working moms listening and you feel like you have a story to share, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at the Free Mama Blog.
Awesome. I just think you're so extraordinary. I love the work you're doing. And more than that, I just love the evolution of your motherhood and your ability to kind of adapt and change according to new sets of circumstances and your willingness to evolve with that has really made you a better mom and a better business owner, I'm sure. So that really inspires me. Thank you so much for sharing, Lauren.
Thank you, Jessica.
This was so fun. Okay, have a great day.
Thanks.
I had such a great time chatting with Lauren this morning. Isn't she amazing? So regardless of your current situation, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a working mom, whether you're a work-from-home mom, whether you're a mom at all, there's so many takeaways we can learn from another person's story. And Lauren was so encouraging about starting from where you are and being able to adapt and evolve as circumstances change. That really inspired me. So thanks, Lauren, for sharing. Anything we talked about, any of the resources we talked about will be on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You can follow me at JessicaDahlquist3 on Instagram, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and I love it when you share the podcast. So thank you so much if you've been telling your friends about the show. It means so much to have new moms joining our community and being inspired by these amazing moms we have here every week. It's such a treat. So I hope everyone has an awesome day, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.